The Fan on Demand. No one is more easygoing yet so highly competitive. Doubt him, and he'll challenge you to an afternoon nap to the death. This is the Greg Brady Show. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Roger Lajoie in for Greg Brady this week, and great to be with you here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590, here until 3 o'clock today. As Greg usually does, we're going to open up the phone lines a lot during the program. We will talk some Blue Jays right off the get-go. Talk about the NFL playoffs. Toronto Maple Leafs, their goaltending situation. Taking three goaltenders, Carolina. That might be the answer. Play them all at the same time and go with two men in front. A little bit of a revolutionary idea, but maybe that is the answer in Carolina. We'll have all that coming up for you on the program today, and nice to be with you here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Was on the weekend and just had a chance to take your calls, and we're going to take more of your calls today on Vernon Wells, reflecting on his situation here in Toronto. My views on Vernon were pretty clear. I think Vernon Wells was a stand-up player. I think he was a very good Major League player. Not his fault he signed that kind of a contract. And so he's gone, and now I get the deal, and everyone is just wildly delighted that they managed to unload the so-called untradeable contract. Well, that may be very well the case. It is a little different. I'm sure the Angels are pretty happy to have him, though, in their outfield. We'll take your calls on that and get your thoughts on Vernon. Reflect on a guy that I think was a stand-up guy, did a lot of baseball in the city. And listen, he signed the contract. He signed the contract that was given to him, negotiated and bargained on. And I hosted that day in 2006 when he was down in the lobby. I was filling in hosting that day, just like I am today for Greg Brady. And he came in with Paul Godfrey and J.P. Ricciardi, and we had the conversation here, and there wasn't anybody saying it was, even then, it's a lot of money, but it was kudos to the Jays for standing up. Way to go. Lock up the long term. That's what you got to do in baseball these days. Okay. So it didn't work out to the specifications, but I don't blame Vernon Wells for that. So we'll take your calls. We'll get your thoughts on that. NFL and Leafs a little bit later, but guy who knows Vernon Wells and a lot more about Blue Jay baseball than you and I is on the line right now. Former major leaguer, Alan Ashby, Sportsnet Fan 590, Jays voice, of course, along with the great Jerry Howarth. Alan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Roger. Thanks for the little build-up right there. I don't know this time of year if all of that's true, but, I have a lot of reactions just like other fans do.
It's all true, and thank you again for being with us, Alan. Let's hear your views on this. First of all, were you surprised when the deal was made? And secondly, maybe give us some, personal asides about Vernon Wells, the player and the guy.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Not so much that the Jays would want to unload the contract, but that there was a team at this stage of things that was out there that was willing to pick up that kind of contract. The Angels saw their defense go way downhill last year, and I think even in the outfield they needed some help. And I think, like you say, Roger, I think you're on the money. I think Vernon is going to be very much enjoyed by the Angels players and likely by their fans as well, as long as they're not worried about dollars spent. It wasn't Vernon's fault that things wound up that he signed a big deal. And he's played hard, he's played hurt, and 31 home runs last year, nothing to, flip aside. I think Vernon really is a very good player. I'm not sure he's a great player, but he does have great talent.
And Alan, personally, I mean, you're around the club. Everything that I indicated and saw, and I only go down about 15, 20 games a year, and I had the privilege of hanging with you guys for a couple of games doing the Mike Woolner role when he was away for a couple of days. So I'm not as in tune as to what kind of guy. But the vibe I had on Vernon was good guy in the community, good guy in the clubhouse, and a good guy, period. Am I off base in saying that? What are your thoughts and reflections on what kind of guy he is?
I think very much liked on the team. I think he has always done as much as a guy can do in the community. He's quiet. I didn't find him to be a jovial sort. I know he's funny. He's regarded as a guy with dry humor and all that sort of thing. But he's not engaging with a number of us around the team. But, you don't pay a guy for that. That really doesn't matter. So if I'm giving an overall evaluation, I think he's a real good, solid guy. He had teammates certainly behind him. And everybody knew that he would play hard and give his very best, and I think that's the bottom line for a guy you want on your team.
Alan Ashby is with us from Sportsnet, Fan 590, of course, Blue Jay Baseball. Can't wait to hear Alan and Jerry coming up. Hey, it won't be that long. We're already January 24th, folks, and baseball will be here before we know it. Roger Lajoie for Greg Brady today on the Greg Brady Show. So, Alan, here's the question I'm going to pose to Jays fans, and it's pretty, you know, direct. Is do you believe the Blue Jays have a plan, and are you confident in that plan? And I don't think there's any question. They've illustrated that they do have a plan. Alex Anthopoulos is getting a lot of kudos from everybody in baseball for what he's trying to do here. We can see that. But, I mean, bottom line, end of the day, Alex Rios was let go for nothing on waivers when the White Sox picked him up, and everybody was delighted that they got rid of that. And Roy Halladay was not signed for financial reasons, and the deal was made. That's fine. And now Vernon Wells' contract is unloaded, and nobody really is complaining all that much about that, although certainly they miss Doc to a certain extent, miss Vernon. I don't know how much anybody misses Alex Rios. But they were decisions made with a plan in place to operate and run a team a certain way. Do you have faith in Alex? Do they have a plan, Alan, in your mind? And is a plan that's going to work, given the fact that at some point, don't you have to spend significant dollars if you're going to compete with the Yankees and Red Sox?
Yeah, I think ultimately you do. I saw obviously some teams, Minnesota Twins, Tampa Bay on given years, competes without spending tons of money, but there may be good fortune involved in that, and it generally isn't long term. But clearly, the Blue Jays and Alex Anthopoulos have a plan. Whether it works, time will tell. I think clearly losing Vernon leaves a big hole to fill, but it also creates opportunity for young guys like Travis Snyder, and I think that also is a big part of things. Can you keep Travis in the lineup daily? He hasn't been able to do so the last couple of years. And this is a guy, in my opinion, that also has great talent and could become a great player. So I think you've got to find ways for the great talented players to be in the lineup every day. But I think there's going to be a lot of intrigue with this ball club. The Sean Markham deal, to me, was one that really left me scratching my head. But then again, I don't know anything about the young Lowry second baseman they picked up from the Brewers. And what does that mean about Aaron Hill, a guy who saw a lot of his game defensively and certainly in terms of batting average drop off considerably last year? I would certainly feel that the Blue Jays are going to have Aaron Hill at second base every day. But, you know, are they looking at something maybe a little bit down the road in terms of Rajay Davis? Is he the center fielder, or do you plug center field with Jose Bautista, or does he play at third base? There's just so much, and first base can be played by Encarnacion and or Adam Lind or both of them. And so Mike Napoli now into the mix. Well, there's just a whole lot going on this team, and I think John Farrell's going to have his hands full.
Yeah, and he's going to have a very different-looking clubhouse by the sounds of it as well. And who knows what will happen between now and the start of the season, and then as we get into trade deadline, it'll be interesting for sure. I mean, end of the day, the numbers are really astounding when you think about it. I mean, the Blue Jays still owed Vernon $86 million. Reports are the only check they wrote to the Los Angeles Angels was for $5 million. And then, of course, Alex Rios, when the White Sox claimed him from waivers in August 2009, you combine the savings on those contracts, that's $140.7 million. That's like astounding, Alan. It really is astounding when you think about it. Do you have faith, though, that some of that $140.7 million is going to be reinvested back into salaries? Because, again, I go back to the nucleus of the discussion, you know, Alan, is ultimately what I'd really love to know is what they envision this team's payroll being. Tampa did it. You're right. You can't dispute it. You may not like it. Say, well, they lost for 10 years. They got high draft picks. I don't care how they did it. They did it. Minnesota, playing in another division where it's easier, has done it. Teams have done it. But is that the way the Blue Jays intend to do it? Or at some point, will we see this team spend $100, $110 million to, well, do it?
Well, I think they've already proven, and I think they'll continue to do so, proving that they're willing to spend the money. I really believe the Blue Jays and ownership are committed to attempting to be as good a ball club as they can possibly be and win in the toughest division in all of Major League Baseball. I think they have a pitching staff that's young and set up to become quite good. And I think Kyle Drabek could be a big key there where you don't really spend a lot of money. But your question is about spending money right now. And I guess I would probably have to sit here and scratch my head and say, well, where do you spend the money exactly? Maybe you might say, well, we need a true center fielder on this ball club. I'm not sure who there is out there right now that could be acquired in that regard. Who's your catcher? To me, that might be the largest question at the moment. Does J.P. Arencibia, a guy who had the greatest debut of all time, get a chance to play? To me, defensively, he's very comparable to a Mike Napoli who comes on the scene who was a big question mark in Anaheim. And he's not a guy that's an on-base percentage guy, nor is Juan Rivera picked up in the Vernon Wells deal. So, again, more questions. I hope that Arencibia gets a chance to play out of this whole thing. But, it's always really easy to say, well, this is a player I'd like, but in reality that player is not acquirable, or we need to spend some money on a player, but who is that player? Some other teams this offseason have gone out and done that, the Carl Crawford deal and Adrian Beltre and so forth around the major leagues. Those may not have been opportunities the Blue Jays really had shots at. But I think those really big-name guys that you would anticipate spending big money for are pretty much locked up at this point.
That'll be interesting indeed. Alan Ashby, of course, is the voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. Alan, hope you're enjoying the offseason. It's great to hear your voice because we know baseball's not that far around the corner. Enjoy the offseason, what's left of it, and can't wait to hear you and Jerry again soon. Thanks for this.
Roger, thanks a lot. All the same back to you, and you always do a great job when you're with the Blue Jays radio and everything else you do for the fan. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Good man. Alan Ashby of the Blue Jays. Okay, so 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Roger@fan590 is the email. Roger@fan590.com is the email. I'll have it open throughout the course of the show. Simple question to you, fans out there. You're the guys who pay tickets. Do the Blue Jays have a plan? And if they do have a plan in your mind, are you comfortable with this plan? So far, each individual mood is a plot. Well, Rios got him on waivers. Great. Corrected a big bad mistake. Okay. Can't keep Halliday, but look at the prospects. Drayback. Well, okay. Oh, Wells, the untradeable contract. Now it's traded. When does, though, the future become this year? Or is this team just going to try to, oh, hopefully everything comes together 1 year and do it on the cheap? Or do you have visions of a bigger plan here? I've got confidence in Alex Anthopoulos. The ownership spending a certain amount of money that it will take at some point. You can't let everybody go and turn over every year. What point does next year become this year with this team? Bruce in Etobicoke, thanks for holding. What do you think, Bruce?
Oh, it's great to take a call, Roger. And you touched on some things already. Alex is a great guy to do this job because I don't think any old school GM would do what he's doing. And all the best of luck to him. But let's stop calling this a rebuild. Their plan is to shed dollars, and if they could build a winner by doing so at the same time, all the better. But let's stop fooling everybody that they're trying to build a winner and be serious about it. They're shedding dollars, and it's their right to make money. That's fine. But let's not kid ourselves that we're going to be real contenders.
All right, Bruce, thanks for the call. Well, that then leads to the $100 million question, though, is like, okay, well, obviously they're shedding dollars, you're right, and I don't think anybody's going to stand up from the Blue Jays organization and say our plan is to just shred dollars so we can get a much more profitable ball club moving forward, even though that's part and parcel of what may happen here. But we have seen it isn't just about spending money and payroll. And if you have faith in a general manager and his ability to do business and compete, then the Blue Jays can still contend. I'm convinced of that. Tampa Bay is the clear illustration of that. It's not a theory. It's not a theory that you don't have to spend this money and compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's proven practice. Tampa Bay did it. They did it in a way that people don't like. Well, they gutted it for 10 years. I don't really care about that. This is 3 years now. They've been a terrific young team, and we'll see what they can do this year now that they've lost Crawford. It gets tougher every year. But is that the way you're going to operate if you're Toronto? And should Toronto operate that way? I don't think so. Listen, we're not the Red Sox, Yankees, and LA Angels, but we're sure not Pittsburgh and Kansas City either. So at an appropriate time, we'll see if that checkbook comes back out. Your calls and emails welcome, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell, roger@fan590.com. Do the Blue Jays have a plan? And if they do, do you back it? Our Greg Brady Show bonus code today, folks. Fan Club members, enter it now. It's Vernon. He's gone. You might have heard. Vernon, before 2:50 p.m. today at fan590.com for 590 points and your chance to win a prize pack from Stanley Tools. That code again, Vernon. Visit fan59.com and enter it in the fan club for your chance to win right now. I'm Roger Lajoie for Greg Brady. What do you think about this Blue Jays rebuilding plan? Your thoughts are next on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Now more of the Greg Brady Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Call the Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 Whiner line at 416-413-3924. We got a whiner line now, apparently. What's the difference between that and what we usually do here? Oh, they can do it. They can leave a message. Oh, they can leave a message with whatever's on your mind. And don't forget to include your full name and phone number. Yeah. Include your full name and phone number. We don't know alias either and dummy phone number. I come on here. I say, you want to take a shot at me? I'll probably be on the whiner line all the time. That's fine. Full name and phone number. Andrew Crystal will play the five best whinies of the week. Oh, sorry, wines of the week. Every Friday morning, fan club members will vote on their favorite, and the winning wine will get a $100 gift certificate to Harbor Sports Grill. Hey, that's a great prize. Call the whiner line now at 416-413-3924. That's our promotional liner. I don't want you to call the whiner line now. I prefer you call these numbers. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. I'm Roger Lajoie for Greg Brady on The Greg Brady Show. I do not have any gift certificate for you, but I will let you come on here and you tell me what you think about this Blue Jay rebuilding plan, or is it even a rebuilding plan? Previous caller talks about they're just shredding salary. Let's not kid it. They're shredding salary. If they happen to be able to build a team, that's great, but bottom line is they're shredding salary. Between Rios and Wells, $140.7 million they have saved from what they were spending. That makes Alex Anthopoulos the accountant of the year. General manager of the year. Now, by the way, Ricciardi unloaded the Rios deal. I know that. All right, so Jay's management team in the last couple of years, the account. Do you believe in this? I do. I do. I think Alex Anthopoulos gets it. I think the real cruncher here, though, and I don't have the crystal ball answer for this, and I think they will, but this team can't do it the same way Tampa Bay did, and nor should they. They are not Boston and New York and L.A. Nobody in baseball is. Everyone in baseball looks at those guys and they go, they're crazy. Fair enough. But Toronto is not Pittsburgh or Kansas City or Milwaukee or Tampa Bay either. They got, at some point, will have to address the issue. Now, they did with Romero. They re-upped Romero, remember? And we'll see what the payroll is eventually. But this constant, anybody who gets to a certain contract status we can't keep here anymore, I disagree with. And I'd like to see ownership do that at some point. Alan Ashby made it clear he doesn't think there's anyone. I don't spend money just for the sake of spending money. I got that. And, you know, Vernon Wells is a pretty good guy. Vernon Wells, I thought, is a good player in Toronto, a good citizen. He's good in the community. And people look at the contract. Well, 31 homers, 83 RBIs. Take a look around Major League Baseball. How many guys had 31 homers last year? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. And by the way, they only wound up paying Vernon Wells $40 million of the $126 million on the contract. So $40 million for the years he was here, that actually turned out to be a pretty good deal. Think about it from that perspective. The tail end of the contract. It's the Angels that got the bad contract, not the Blue Jays. Wayne in Richmond Hill, what do you think, Wayne?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
When you added up the salaries from Wells and Rios, if you add on top of that the money that they would have paid Halliday.
Even more, you know, you're right.
Yeah, so the way I look at it is, you know, like they're on the field, they're a worse team today than they were with Wells. They lost 88 RBIs, 30 home runs. And plain and simple, they're not as good on the field without him. I don't care how much he makes. That's not my concern. Now, when I look at the Jays, it's like, how many positions out of the nine positions, you know, maybe if you had the DH, 10, bullpen, how many of those positions are completely locked down, scratched off the list? We don't have to worry about this position.
Oh, probably not very many. There's all kinds of... I was looking at Wayne suggested lineups for the Blue Jays. I get dizzy trying to figure this out.
I don't think there's one.
Yeah. Maybe.
You know, and if you want to become a competitive team, you have to start scratching positions out and say, okay, we got so-and-so at third base. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, we don't have to worry about left field. We don't have to worry about catcher. And the other thing is, like, when they say, well, you got a bunch of young, exciting players. You know, young players are not exciting. Good players are exciting. And if you think people are going to come out and watch a bunch of unproven people, it just ain't going to happen. And I don't know, like, you know, like if they were really serious, like Alex talks a good game, but if the Jays were really serious about contending, you know, maybe they would have gone and got somebody with a little more experience, a proven track record. Hey, we're serious about contending here. And I just get the impression that the Blue Jays are just trying to save money, make a little bit more money. You're going to get the same amount of people come and watch you, whether you win 90 games or whether you win 70 games. So I don't know. I just don't get it. I really and truly don't understand what their objective is and why they should expect fans to pay money to go watch them play.
Okay, Wayne, thanks for the call. Well, listen, hey, we asked for your opinion, and that's a definitive one for sure. There's no doubt they are saving money. They will make more money as presently constructed payroll-wise with their contracts. And the attendance, I do believe, too, is kind of bottomed out. I think the same number of fans will probably come out. So all of that is correct, and that's obvious. But ultimately, can they still build a winning team? Your point about young players are not exciting, good players are exciting. You know what's really exciting is winning. Whether you're winning with young players, I think the Tampa Bay Devil Rays winning the American League pennant a couple of years ago on a shoestring budget is every bit as bloody exciting to the fans of that team, or it should be, they didn't turn out, but should be, than it is the New York Yankees. Young, old, in between, who the hell cares? Stealing bases, hitting homers, what's the difference? Winning. People love winning. Get on a 9-10 game winning streak. You get it within two games of first place in the division. That's what's exciting. Now, how you go about doing that if you're not going to spend the big dollars? It's a challenge. Bob and Whitby, what do you think, Bob?
Well, I just think they're selling magic make-believe and too many people are drinking the Kool-Aid. I had season tickets from the day they started at Exhibition Stadium until 1995, and me and my buddies, we dumped them.
Because you weren't the only ones, Bob.
We dumped them, and, you know, I went to the All-Star game. I still got my keychain from when the Sky Dome opened, and they gave them an opening day. I go down and watch them in Dunedin for 2 weeks. And now, you know what? The team just doesn't have that feel about it. It has all about corporation, about money. Labatt's, when they owned it, they didn't have that feel to it in that sense, right? It felt like a community team. And I just think that if Rogers was really serious about it, they would have put the money in when the man was alive. And they didn't do that. And I don't think, you know, you got Pittsburgh, you got Kansas City, like you said. We aren't like those teams. We are. We are like those teams now. And I think we have to face that. All those teams are trying to do what Tampa did. And none of them have been able to do it. And now that Tampa did it once, everyone goes, oh, we can do it like Tampa or Minnesota. You can't. When the Jays won, they competed against Boston. They competed against the Yankees in salary. If the Jays were serious, they'd be back doing what Gillick did, picking up these guys. Gillick didn't draft players. He got them on Rule 5. He pulled them out of other people's draft. He brought in good talent. They paid the extra money. When Jays won, they had the highest payroll. Until we get back to that, we are not going to compete, Roger.
Okay, Bob, thanks for the call. Listen, what has really changed, though, and hey, listen, what you're saying is indisputable. There's no question. I'm not going to make any revisionist history. You're right. When the Blue Jays won the World Series in 1992 and 1993, they had the highest payroll in baseball, and they needed somebody. They went out and got him. Whether it was Dave Winfield or Paul Molitor or Jack Morris or David Cohn or whatever the hell, they mixed and matched, and no question. But one thing we can all be assured of now, and this is not happening, nor, I will argue, should it happen. Those days are done. Listen, when the Blue Jays had the highest payroll in baseball, it was like $47, $48 million, something like that. And other teams are spending $42. The Yankees and the Reds, the Yankees spent $205 million, $208 million. I can't even keep track anymore of how much money they're spending. Red Sox spend $130, $140. The Angels are kind of in that mix. That's lunacy. So it's almost like you've got to force it. So if you're waiting or expecting, or maybe you're not, Bob, a lot of people aren't expecting it, if you think the days that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to have the highest payroll in baseball are coming back, that is not happening. And the other 28 teams in baseball, 29 teams I should throw out, are of the same opinion. But that said, still, I think you can be competitive and re-sign your players and mix and match a little bit, but you can't do it spending, just bringing in spare change and parts. At some point, you got to commit to a core of players and sign them up, I think, at least, and I think Toronto should do that. Omar in Toronto, what do you think?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually really surprised that nobody's optimistic about the direction that this organization is going in. We have a team full of young talent and with nothing really to lose. And now we're able to step up and prove ourselves. I know that we don't have, you know, of all the positions on the team, we don't have anyone who's really definitive, who's a lock. But you know what? When you have a team of young talent and a team that's a lot of players are really universal. They can really play a lot of positions. I don't understand what the problem is. We got to wait and see. Now, it's amazing that we got rid of this contract. I love Brendan Wells. I think he's an amazing role model. He was great in the community. But this is something that's going to be amazing for the organization long term. And now that we have unloaded this contract, we might be able to, you know, ask the ownership, listen, let's get some more money. We might be able to get a household name in here.
All right, Omar, thanks for the call. Norm in Orillia, what do you think, Norm?
Hi, Roger. How are you today?
Excellent, sir. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, I just wanted to call because I listened yesterday about Vernon Wells, and now I'm listening today, and I wanted to let you know that I agree with everything you're saying about positive reaction to sports as a fan. I think that ultimately we're very close in the culture and the media now to have a say and have a perception, and I think that if we're going to enjoy sports for what it is, then we really need to change our overall mindset and say, you know what, I like this. I like Vernon Wells was a ball player that put on a show, and he was a lot more talented than I am, and Holiday and everything. You know, it's just every sport now, we're too close, but I think that as people, we just need to decide and make it simple. You know, I either am going to really enjoy this for what it is, it's a sport, and there are people better than me playing at it that are very entertaining, or else I'm going to stop following the team, and everything else is just making already too busy people too busy in their heads anyway.
Norm, thank you for the call. I subscribe. Here's a pet peeve I've had, and I've said this many times on the air, and I'm going to say it continually over again. I don't know why the hell somebody who goes to a ball game in May then decides not to go. They've got tickets. No, I don't want to go in May because we're going to be out of the pennant race in September. What the hell does that have to do with enjoying a ball game in May? I mean, really. We got time for one more here, guys? Where are we going next? We're going to Mike in Toronto. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Roger. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You're a Montrealer, so I guess you're kind of neutral to all this kind of talk about the Jays. I think it's a great deal for Vernon Wells. I don't know what people are complaining about. I mean, people have been complaining about having that contract, not being able to get other players. People should – I can't even understand why people are even complaining about the deal and even the moves we got. We got 41 homers back. We got some good power back. We got rid of that disgusting contract. I think Vernon Wells was hugely overrated. Thank God he had that year last year so we can get rid of him. I like what you know, we're lucky to have a good, young, innovative GM who's going to make deals to stockpile. I see what he's doing. I think that's why he got rid of Markham. He wants to keep stock. He knows they're not ready yet, so he's going to keep stockpiling, and I like that. He's the first GM in Toronto that's had a bloody vision in years, and people are actually ripping him. I just don't get it.
Well, so far today they are, but let's be fair about this. I think most people are really quite pleased with Alex Anthopoulos. Let's not let a couple of phone calls here in this segment think. The general gist I'm getting from people is you are in the majority. Sometimes, you know, a couple of callers come through and start whining ahead of time. But I think most people like Alex Anthopoulos in this marketplace.
And the reason why I like him is because, you know, he's got balls to do what he's got to do, and that's what you need. You need a guy that's going to take risk. You need a guy that's going to, you know, put, you know, just really take a long time and make the risk like that Lowry deal was. I don't like that trade for Markham. I think it's a bit of a step back. But I think he's got a plan. And even having Markham, he knows they can't compete just yet. But he sees that teams like Tampa and Minnesota and other smaller market teams can do it. So, and you know what? Rogers must be one of the richest owners. I mean, he's got to be. So if the funds are needed, I'm sure they can go to it. So I really like what he's doing. Anybody who has anything remotely negative to say about that trade or anything he's done has, you know, no idea about baseball, just a dumb, typical Toronto fan.
All right, Mike, I got to move on, Mike. Thanks. We're up against the clock. And hey, listen, everybody's got an opinion, and the guy who's got the money in his wallet and is thinking about supporting this team, if they're negative, I want to hear them too. That's why we're giving everybody the time, and we'll continue to give you the time. We've got lots of callers, a couple of lines open. I promise you we'll go right to the top of the hour, get your thoughts. What would you do? How do you feel about this plan? Is there a plan? I think there is. Your calls are next. Roger Lajoie for Greg Brady on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. Now more of the Greg Brady Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Roger Lajoie for Greg Brady today. Phone lines are open and they're humming. I got a message for the Blue Jays PR department. Here's some good news for you, because you probably use some good news because your attendance has been in the dumper the last couple of years. One of the biggest challenge, the biggest worry you have trying to sell tickets in this marketplace, or any professional sports team trying to sell tickets in any marketplace, is people don't give a you-know-what about your product. People still care about this team. I was here Saturday afternoon. We took Vernon Wells calls. Long time. Same thing today. A lot of people want to weigh in. A lot of them aren't your regular customers anymore. So Blue Jays marketing department, please, if I may respectfully suggest, listen to these calls as closely as I'm going to, because these are the guys right here. Like Greg in Brampton. What do you think, Greg?
Hey, I just want to make a quick point regarding what happened in 92. After 92, they shipped off Jimmy Key, Tom Hankey, and Kelly Gruber, because that was the financially responsible thing to do, and that gave room for younger players to come up and take their place, plug in a couple of veterans here and there, and they repeated. So, I mean, they just haven't won yet, but they get rid of a couple pieces, plug in some new kids, and they're trying to get there that way. So financially responsible in 92, financially responsible now.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call. I would take issue with the 92-93, though. They did release and get rid of some players in 92 for 93, but they also brought in Paul Molitor. They also spent money, and the payroll both years in 92 and 93 was the highest in Major League Baseball. So it wasn't being financially responsible. The bottom line is, no matter what the figure is, they were the number one spending team in baseball in 1993. Now they're middle of the pack. A big difference. Dan in Bolton. What do you think, Dan?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
I love your work, Roger. Just wanted to bring up 2 points that I'm not really hearing today. First one is this team is built for 2012. It's not built for this upcoming season. They're hoping all their young guys get good at the same time, and they're good for 10 years, and that's the only way to build a team. And the money that they're saving, they're going to have to pay to all their pitchers, because, you know, all the young guys, all the bullpen guys are making more than their starters right now, and they got to be fiscally responsible. They can't carry a huge contract like that. I'm just not hearing that stuff today.
Will they pay that money to their pitchers? That's the question, though.
As far as I can see in their farm system, all they've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years is just they've been drafting pitcher, and they haven't really had any middle infielders or center fielders or anything like that. That's why they've had to trade for those guys. And sometimes you got to give up a Markham to get like a solid middle infielder, because they just haven't drafted those kind of guys. So I hope they stay the course. And I'm a big Alex Anthopoulos fan, and I think from 2012 on, the fans will be really happy.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. I'm Blue Jay Marketing Department and everybody involved. And I tell you one thing, I'm not cheerleading, and I don't cheerlead for the home teams. But as a guy who makes his living in sports broadcasting in this marketplace, I am cheering for fans to fill that stadium. And I certainly hope that the Blue Jays are exciting and that there's a buzz. Apathy is the killer here. There's no apathy in this marketplace yet about this team. I see a lot of passion one way or the other about it. I think it's great. Rob in Toronto, what do you think?
Hey, I'm actually pretty stunned that people are complaining about this trade. We just got rid of one of the worst contracts in all of sports. You know, we were going to be paying Vernon Wells $23 million when he's 35 to play left field and hit 20 home runs. I'm very excited about this team. You know, AA knows that he wasn't going to win with Markham Wells. He wasn't going to win next year. And I'm confident they're going to spend the money when they need to. They weren't going to get Worth. They weren't going to get Crawford. None of these deals made sense. So he's doing the smart thing. The Leafs and Raptors tried this for years. They're like, let's bring in Marion, let's bring in Jermaine O'Neal, let's bring in a veteran so we can finish in, you know, middle of the pack. Where the Jays are like, no, we're going to stockpile elite prospects, tons of pitchers, and we'll spend the money when we need to. I'm very excited about the next 3-4 years.
All right, Rob, thanks. Well, you know, and listen, I think most people are. It's not just a couple of negative callers making it through today. We're talking about the Blue Jays and the fact that they're not everybody likes the Vernon Wells deal. I don't think people are saying they don't like the deal, but it's a case of, okay, so how does that make you better? All right, so you shredded a contract. Well, that's great, but how does that make you better? And say what you want about Vernon Wells. It's still 31 homers and 83 ribbies in the middle of an order. And by the way, the Angels would disagree that, you know, and they don't care about money, so that's a different story. But how does that make you better? Shredding contract does not make you better. It's like re-signing your own players. That doesn't make you better. That just keeps you the same. That's why I think there's an opportunity in the American League East this year, because the New York Yankees aren't better. New York Yankees are just the same, and they're a year older. Re-signing at this stage of the game, Rivera and Jeter and Posada and that old bunch, and not adding anything to an already kind of pitching staff that was wonky, they're not any better. They're the same. That's where the negativity is coming from. Yes, I think it's a good move moving forward, but it's like, okay, so how many times talking about the Blue Jays in the last decade have we been talking about it's 2006, it's 2007, it's 2000, no, it's 2000, it's 2010, no, it's 20, no, it's not about this year, it's about next year. At some point, I think fans in this marketplace want to know, what year is it that we can expect this? And you say 2012, boy, unless they make some additions, I don't see it, quite frankly. I'm optimistic about Alex Anthopoulos, but I don't think 2012, why is 2012 going to be that much better than 2011 right now? Daniel and Vaughn. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, how are you doing this today?
Doing great. Thanks, Daniel.
I just wanted to say, seeing so much absurd comments on like different social media and even listening to comments, hopefully some of these people don't take it on the wrong way, but when you couple Yankees envy with blue and white fever in this market, you could have some of the worst, if not moronic, baseball fans. And yeah, sure, it was a salary dump, but hey, it's only mid-January. We still got to go through spring training. You never know what moves AA is going to make before then, and even during this season. I mean, it's not like when JP, when he was in hand, he was pretty much running around with a chicken cut off, with his head cut off. I mean, AA looks like he has a plan, and it's still not even the beginning of the season yet, and it's just wait the course in a sense, because it looks like Alex Anthopoulos at least has some form of direction.
All right, Daniel, thanks. Well, I think most people are in agreement. I'm a little surprised, too, and you've been listening here the last half hour. We've had, especially at the start of this, when we open up the lines, a lot of people having the negativity. I think most people are very positive about Alex Anthopoulos. I think people really think, and by the way, I'm one of them. Let's get that clear. I think Alex Anthopoulos is a real bright young general manager who knows what he's doing. I think there's a plan in place. Andy in Toronto, what do you think?
Yeah, Roger, I agree with you. I think there is a plan in place. And I'm on board. They sort of lost me over the years with J.P. Ricciardi because it was sort of plugging the holes in the dike with different figures and different players that weren't ever going to match up with the Yankees. And I think the number one rule of a general manager, number one idea, attribute you want from that guy is being able to read talent. I'm not sure if Brian Burke can do it. Look what he brought in. I mean, if you look at the Blue Jays, they've got some guys in their pitching staff, whether it's Romero, Cecil, Morrow, Drabeck. Okay, they've shown something. You know, 1 or 2 years, Romero and Cecil keep getting better, but are they going to take their next step this year? The same thing with their batting order, with whether it's Batista, Snyder. Now you got Aaron Seabee coming up. Is Lynn going to bounce back? I mean, I think it is 2012. They kicked back this salary, which was a great move. It was like, who was going to take that? They found somebody. Now, if these guys progress in 2011 and they're an exciting baseball and Farrell is talking about he's going to do other things besides waiting for home runs to happen, I'm all for that. I've been saying that for a long time. Davis is the guy, 50 stolen bases. When's the last time we saw that? I'll go back to the ball game, and if they progress, the money is there, and hopefully Rogers will kick in even more. And again, these guys know who is the potential free agent in 2012. We don't really know. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
All right, Andy, thanks. I would too. I'm not going to disagree with anything on that one because, in my opinion, we'll ask your opinion. You talk about social media and phone calls and the whiner line on the fan and everybody weighing in on their thoughts. Everyone's opinion. My opinion is the same. I think Alex Anthopoulos has it right. I think I am still waiting and hopeful, though, that I don't get, and when I say me in particular, I don't get overly upset on this if all of a sudden we come out and it's like, well, look, we're not going to pay the money. As long as this franchise doesn't operate like Pittsburgh and Kansas City and operates like a large market team, I don't expect them to pay what the Yankees and the Red Sox do because that's stupid. But I do expect them at some point. So, okay, all right, so they're doing this and we've got this plan in place. All right, let's go back to that great young pitching staff. Well, then you better resign that great young pitching staff then. At some point, this team's payroll, if it wants to be a serious long-term contender and not operate like Tampa Bay, is going to have to be at least $100 million, if not more. And if they're prepared at the proper time to spend that, I'm willing to wait for 2 years and give the guy all the time he needs. Sal in Toronto.
Hi, Raj.
Hi.
Yeah, just a comment here. So, I mean, us Toronto fans, I mean, we just don't know what we want here in this particular city here. I mean, we're never content with what anybody does. I think AA has got a good plan going on, and we should just watch and enjoy and listen and just see what happens. I mean, you had a couple callers ago stating about Pat Gillick bringing in players. Yeah, well, that was the right time. They knew they were close, and they brought in the right players to fit into the puzzle. I mean, if the Jays should be close enough by the trading deadline, I'm sure, you know, Rogers and Alex Anthopoulos will make the move to bring that piece in order to get over the hump. So, I mean, let's stop throwing this guy underneath the bus. I mean, he's doing a great job up till now. Let's be patient. And if they don't throw in the money, well, then we can have a talk show the next day and say, why didn't they do this move? Let's give them an opportunity. I mean, this is the only manager in Toronto, GM in Toronto, that is actually doing something that we're going in the right direction.
All right, Sal, thanks. And listen, that's good news. We'll definitely have a talk show if this Blue Jay team 2 years down the road, and let's say, oh, I don't know, some of this great young core is being dealt again because of financial reasons. You better believe I will remember this. I'll give him a pass now. You're right. I'm on board now, but I won't be on board if I don't see this ownership writing some checks. James in Toronto, are you on board?
Oh, I'm on board big time, Raj. Take a look at what this guy inherited. It was a team with a lot of bloated contracts, with nothing in the farm system. He took them, and he's completely restocked and put a winning team on the table. I mean, I can't understand how people can't just look at that, look at the broad picture, and see the job that he's done. It's just so obvious. The other thing I love about him is he keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't really care what we think of him. And that's a wonderful change from JP. He just goes about his business, and nobody saw this trade coming. In fact, nobody thought it was even possible. And next thing you know, he's unloaded what was an untradeable contract. The only criticism that I've seen of this trade that's legitimate is that the trade was so good and so one-sided that other GMs are going to have to be careful when they deal with them. And that's a pretty good thing to have other people saying about a trade, if that's the only criticism.
James, thanks for the call. Well, you know, guys in the media, other guys in the media get mad at general managers who pull this off, and they get a deal that nobody was speculating beforehand. It makes them mad because they didn't get the scuttlebutt. Most deals now they talk about for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then finally it becomes official, da-da-da. I love it. I think that's fantastic. And I give credit to everybody in the Blue Jays organization because there's no way that people working in that front office did not know about that, and somehow, some way, they managed to keep their mouth shut. And I think that's great. I think you should be able to do your business as best you can in this crazy era that we're living in, quietly and efficiently. Full value, full marks to that for Alex Anthopoulos. Nobody had this. Nobody. Not one person. Unless somebody throws out 1,000 names just for the sake of saying afterwards they can say they were right. That's the best part of the whole thing, I think. Apologize, I have time for just one more caller. It's Joe in Etobicoke. Joe, go ahead.
How you doing, Raj?
Excellent, thanks.
You know, Raj, I think this has to go down as one of the top five deals in Blue Jays history, and I think the problem with a lot of the callers who call and have sour grapes about it is that they're just too ignorant. They don't look beyond the American League East borders. First of all, the Jays have managed to get rid of arguably one of the top five worst contracts in the last 2 years. I mean, it's remarkable that even the Angels would take on a contract like this because Wells isn't a youngster anymore. And also, Napoli's got a fantastic upside. I mean, the guy's capable of hitting 25 home runs a year, and Rivera's a very good offensive player. So I don't see where they're going to lose offensively, you know, with this kind of a deal. Also, Wells's wheels aren't what they used to be. And if you look back the last couple of years, and you know, on all the radio call-in shows, I mean, it's probably been 10-1 in callers criticizing Wells as opposed to supporting him. So suddenly, where all these people come out saying, oh, you know, they're so upset that Wells got traded. I don't get it.
All right, thank you, Joe. And listen, you know, listen, I don't know if people are upset that Wills got traded. I was surprised, too. Shows you when, you know, you get a topic going. A lot of people started this call-in segment we've done kind of saying negativity and the Jays, and here they go again. It's just a salary dump. Don't be fooled. But I think most people, yes, it is a salary. That's just stating facts. That's not an opinion. It is a salary dump. But that's a good thing, is it not? And for the value coming back, I'm glad to see that passion on the Blue Jays. That's great news for the Blue Jays. Thank you, all of you. Apologize to the callers you couldn't get to. You still weigh in. Roger@fan590.com. Roger@fan590.com. We got some more phone time a little bit later. For Greg Brady, I'm Roger Lajoie. Coming up, Bob McGill talks to Maple Leafs analyst at Leafs TV, and Jim Lang, senior football reporter at Sportsnet.ca. We'll talk Leafs and NFL in our next hour, and a little more Jays too as well. You're listening to Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.